revelation of Jesus Christ. We concluded last Sunday the 11th chapter, in which we studied the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And as we had said before, when that trumpet sounded, that signaled the finish of the mystery of God and brought us up to the time for the dead to rise and the world to be judged. But as we go into chapter 12 today, the scene changes again. We go back to the beginning, come through another course of events to lead us once again through the gospel age up to near the close again. We see in this 12th chapter the church pictured in its most beautiful, most glorious state in the beginning of the chapter, as it was measured by the reed of the Word of God, as we studied in the beginning of the 11th chapter. In the beginning of the gospel age, when the church came in its purity, and as I've stated, measured by the Word of God, founded upon that, John saw a woman. "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman," he said, "clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Many efforts have been made, and much speculation has been done about the symbolism here, what this woman symbolized. Many people think it was Mary, the mother of Jesus. The child that was born to her was Jesus, which makes a very likely story, but it plays out in a short time when you try to make the symbolism fit in every case. But I'm going to say that this woman is the church. It's not unusual that the church should be symbolized as a woman, since in the 5th chapter of the Ephesian letter, the Apostle Paul there compares the relationship of Christ and the church to a man and his wife. He tells husbands to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And in the 19th chapter of this revelation, verse 7, and again in the 21st chapter, verse 9, the church is referred to as the bride or the wife of Christ. So, a woman, that is, a pure woman, is very well in order to symbolize the church, the bride of Christ. And he said she was clothed with the sun. Now, what is the sun? What does it symbolize? The sun is the only source of life that this world has. But since we're talking about spiritual things, symbolized by temporal things, what would be the spiritual life of the world? Nothing but the Word of God, the Bible. This woman was clothed with the Son of Righteousness. It's spoken out in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, meaning Jesus Christ, the Word of God, with the moon under her feet. Now, some commentators have said this moon was the Old Testament law, the Old Covenant. But Mary never had that covenant under her feet. Neither did she trample it down. Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it." Now, what would be symbolized by the literal moon in the spiritual realm? The only source of light, as we have already stated, to the earth is the sun. But this moon reflects the light of the sun upon the earth. But the only source of light the moon has is that it borrows from the sun. The only spiritual life that the world has is that that it receives from the Word of God through the church. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works." So the moon here symbolizes the world, the earth on which we live, the worldly people under the feet of the woman, the church, showing her authority over it, spiritual authority. And she, but let me back up, I'm about to skip. The crown on her head of 12 stars. What does that symbolize? The church was founded upon the apostles and prophets, the Lord. 12 apostles, that is head, through which the gospel was taken in the world, to establish the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the 12 stars, the crown, the victory of the church. She being with child, pride, prevailing in birth, pain to be delivered. Now, this is what makes people think this is Mary, Christ about to be born. But the church was ready, prevailing in birth, ready to begin bearing children through the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, according to the Apostle Peter, chapter 1, and verse 1 Peter, chapter 1, and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This child represents the members being born in the church. Why is it symbolized singular? Why is it pictured as one? Because Christ, God's people, are one. Jesus prayed that they might be one in Him, as He was one in the Father. The Apostle Paul commanded them to be one, to speak the same thing, to be of one mind, perfectly joined together. They are to be one in purpose, in spirit, in practice, in doctrine, but they're pictured here as one. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, who was this dragon? He appeared in the scene here as in heaven, a wonder. The red, red symbolizes blood, war, persecution. And this dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, symbolizes the Roman Empire. 7 forms of government. It began as a kingdom, ruled by a king. It went to a dictatorship. From there it went to a third form of government, decemvirs, which was a group of people equally like a congress. From that it went to military tribune. From the military tribune it was ruled by consuls, then emperor. And it was in that stage when Christ came into the world, when the church was established, the sixth form of government. There was one more, and that was the papal, the Roman Catholic Church, which could take over and rule through that empire. 7 forms of government, 10 horns. Horns are symbols of power, kingdoms over which this, through which this kingdom, this dragon would one day rule all the world. But his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. He cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now let us notice the symbolism in that. The tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. In chapter 9, we learn that tail symbolizes false prophets. From Isaiah 9 and 15, the prophet which speaks, teaches lies, he is the tail. All right? The tail of the dragon represents or symbolizes teaching, false teaching. And that is how that it pulled down a third of the stars of heaven. The stars, angels, representatives, messengers. Heaven here is heavenly places, the church. He drew away a third of these leaders of the church. Aspirin brought them down to earth, back into sin, and stood before the woman, ready to devour all of her children as soon as they were born, to corrupt them either spiritually or to kill them physically if they were not yielded. In the 5th century, the emperor ruling in that age, Constantine, was nominally converted to Christianity. He came into the church. But when he did, he brought his paganism into it. He corrupted it. That's what's symbolized here by a third part of it immediately. Oh, yeah. But that's not the end of it. He stood ready to corrupt, either to kill physically or to lead astray spiritually all Christians as fast as they become Christians. And she brought forth the man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, the man child, as we've already said, is singular, symbolizing the members of the church, the body of Christ. They would be born to the church through the gospel, through the word, the kingdom. They were to rule nations with a rod of iron. That same promise is made to the church, of Thyatira in the second chapter of this book. And I've forgotten the verse. But upon the condition there, they overcome. All that overcome, he would give them power over nations. They would rule them with a rod of iron. Through Christ, he's not talking about a physical or political rule. He's talking about spiritual rule over sin. Through Christ, the only way that we can rule. David said in Psalm 2 that Jesus would rule with a rod of iron. But he doesn't do it physically or personally. He does it through his people, through the church. And that's what he's talking about here. They were born. The church was established for that purpose. The man child. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. How'd that happen? For the sake of the truth, many of them were killed. When they were killed, they were taken into God's care. They were caught up unto his throne. In chapter 6, that's the opening of the 5th seal. We saw the souls of them that had been killed under the altar, crying out their blood, crying out to God for vengeance upon the world. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God. They should feed her there 1,260 days. Fled into the wilderness. She was carried into the wilderness. What does the wilderness represent here? What does it symbolize? Darkness, spiritual ignorance, false teaching, confusion, truth, the light of the truth being lost. The church was first corrupted. Those who would not allow themselves to be corrupted were killed. Those that give in, did not know better, corrupted, taken into a world of confusion, ignorance, false teaching, corruption. But you said the place was prepared of God. How did God prepare that place? How did he bring this about? He knew it would happen, but he preserved the woman. He did not allow her to be completely destroyed. Place prepared where she'd be fed for 5,234 days. Days there, 1,260 days, taking Ezekiel and Daniel's rule of prophecy in that time, a year for a day, 1,260 days, the length of it. Dark ages, we talked about in chapter 11, when the church was not measured by the word of God, when the two witnesses that we studied last Sunday were clothed in dead language, prophesied in sackcloth, and the light of the gospel had gone out. 1,260 days, 1,260 years, but God did not allow them to be destroyed. It was hidden in dead language. The Bibles were burned in living language that people could read, anyone except those that wanted it that way. But it was preserved in that language because God had a hand in it, and he allowed people the opportunity and gave them the wisdom to translate it into living language and to bring it back into existence so that the church, once again, could be established through it and come back to rule in the world. Never war in heaven, not in the eternal city, not in heaven where God is, but in the church. Spiritual war. The false teaching against the sword of the Spirit, fighting to destroy in the church. Michael and his angel representing the Christian, Paul, against the dragon, fighting the evil of the false teaching. And the dragon and his angels fell, and did they or not? They lost the battle. The dragon and his angels, but how did they lose the battle? Because nothing can withstand forever against the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. They lost the battle of truth, as error always loses the truth, but in doing so, they killed the righteous. The Christians won, but they overcome, as you read in the next verse, or a few verses further, by the blood of the Lamb and by the sword of the Spirit, they love not their life until the death. They gave their life for it to overcome. The dragon prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. They were cast out of the church, not found anymore in heaven. As we explained a bit ago, they came into the church, they brought corruption with them, and there was war there, fighting against the forces of evil and truth. And the truth won, but the ones that stood for it lost their life. The dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into earth. His angels were cast out with him. Cast out into earth, what does that mean? Back into political government of the world, where he must rule. But they didn't give up. It didn't mean that they didn't remain religious. It didn't mean there was not still a church. But it didn't constitute the church of the Lord anymore. While it was war, it was good and bad. But when it was cast out, and the church, he had corrupted it so that it didn't constitute the church anymore. Remember the letter to the Ephesians in the second chapter of this letter that John was told to write to the angel of the church of Ephesians, except you repent, I'll return again and remove the candlestick out of his place. The candlestick was newly moved there. They were cast out into the world, back into the political government. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The host of God's people remaining, giving praise to God for the victory over sin that had cast the corruption out of the church and He said, now has come salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his fire, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, cast back into the world, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Let us notice now how Christians overcame. They didn't overcome by a tongue of war. They had never fought a tongue of war. God's people do not fight that. Those that know God, keep his commandments, don't learn war anymore. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the sword of their testimony, by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives unto the death. They gave their life for it. But they fought the battle with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, unto the death. He says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now let us notice that 12th verse good. Rejoice, ye heavens, and they that dwell in them. Whether he's speaking of the dead there, under the altar of God, or the few remaining, if there were any, in the church, the heavenly places, the people of God rejoice. Because he said, woe to the inhabitants of earth. Remember back in chapter 8, when we studied the sounding of the seven trumpets? When the four had been sounded, John saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven, saying in a loud voice, woe to the inhabitants of earth. By reason of the three voices of the three angels that are yet to sound. Four had already sounded, but there were three yet, and he said the woe would be upon the inhabitants of the earth. The first trumpet brought the plague upon the church, the sea, the religious part of the world. But the kingdom of the world, the earth, earthly kingdom, was to receive the last woes, and he said woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and of the sea. See, they're representing the false church that was left, the corrupted church, the religious part of the earthly kingdom. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. A short time, that is a relative term. It's still going on. The devil has not ceased from his war against the righteous yet. So the short time now is a relative term. But he's been cast out of the church and into the religious. His religion has been cast into the worldly governments. And he said he had wrath because he knew that he had been a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man's child. Still persecuted the church. He's still doing it yet. Still the best. But he's been doing it a long time before this, because we're not that far along yet. If you notice in the next verse, we revert back to verse 6, repetitive of verse 6. We're still talking about the time when the woman was going to the wilderness. The war preceded and called the church in the wilderness. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and to her place, for she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. The place in the wilderness prepared. We mentioned that in verse 6. This means talking about the same place. The wilderness of ignorance, superstition, false teaching, confusion. Where she's prepared, has a place prepared for a time. She's nourished times and half a time, 3.5 years. Translated into days, go back to the 1260 years of the Dark Ages, talking about the same time. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. What was that flood out of his mouth? False teaching. Flood of water to carry the church away by the flood. Another flood of false teaching. Let us notice the next verse. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. How did the earth help the woman? The Roman Empire was both political and religious. It preserved the Bible for the sake of its religion. The earth opened up its mouth, that is, representing the kingdom of the world, and swallowed the flood. What was the flood? False teaching. When the Bible came back into print that people could understand, at the beginning of the Restoration, Reformation in Europe, that brought the Bible back to the people, we had a flood of new churches built, new religions springing up, all kinds of different religions and doctrines. They swallowed the flood. They swallowed the false teaching. They went after them. Where it was just one false church, now we have many of them. Remember them three evil spirits back in the 11th chapter that came out of the mouth of the dragon, the thief, and the false prophet? Three different spirits, all religious. One was pagan, one was Catholic, and the other was false teaching. Not confined to one. Anything was false. Every false way. He didn't follow after the word of God and keep his commandments. They swallowed up the flood because that the dragon had cast, hoping to carry away the church with it. And the dragon was wroth at the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This right here, that last verse, proves beyond a doubt that the child, that was the born of the woman, represents the members of the church, the servants of God, the Christians, that how we keep the commandments of God and how the testimony of Jesus Christ. When the dragon saw that he was mocked of them, he was wroth with them and went to make war, still making that war. I believe it was in the... No, it's yet ahead of us. The chapter, I believe in the 16th chapter, we come to the gathering of all the forces of the world together to the battle of Armageddon. We said that at the host club last Sunday night. I was about to say it was last Sunday lesson. The last Sunday night lesson. But talking about a spiritual warfare. Satan has unlimitedly strove and is striving with everything that he can rake his face to fight, to destroy the truth. And he'll gather any force, regardless of who will listen or who will join, in any way. He's going to make war against the seed of the woman, against the true church, against the truth of the Bible. He's fighting today, and he'll continue to fight. But let us take the 13th chapter for our lesson next Sunday and continue this study, where John saw a beast rise up out of the sea, and that beast takes over the power of this dragon we've been studying in chapter 12 today. Remember, I said that the Roman Empire was an empire of seven forms of government. The seven heads seen in this dragon represent the seven forms of government. Five of them had already been when Jesus came into the world. The sixth one was reigning then. The pagan form of the Roman government that brought the first persecution, serious persecution against the church, corrupted it and took it into the wilderness. And the sixth will rise up before that going into the wilderness, as we study in the beginning of the 13th chapter next Sunday. I beg your pardon, the seventh form of government, which will be the papal form of government, the Roman Catholic Church. Let us study that 13th chapter next Sunday for our lesson. Come back together and hope that everyone that's here today can be here. Possible that some others will be here.